Welcome to The Feast Life, where we empower you, the modern homeschool mom, to create a life and homeschool you love, one founded on faith, family, freedom, and fun. I'm your host, Julie Ross, creator of the award-winning homeschool curriculum, A Gentle Feast, and a certified Christian life coach. For more information on today's episode and to access my free gift for you, check out thefeastlife.me. Charlotte Mason once said, "Life should be all living, not a mere tedious passing of time." So on this show, we seek to savor the feast of life. Girl, grab your favorite beverage and pull up a chair. You are welcome at this table. Hello, welcome to today's episode of The Feast Life. I'm your host, Julie Ross, and today I'm going to be sharing a clip from a class that I did on cleaning up your mental mess, managing your emotions for a more peaceful homeschool. You can have the most beautifully organized home, the most efficient schedule, and all the best systems in place. But if your mind is in chaos, it will eventually spill into every area of your life. In this episode, we dive into the power of emotions, what they are, how they shape our actions, and why resisting or numbing them only makes things worse. However you tend to buffer your feelings, you'll learn how to shift into emotional adulthood. This will help you respond rather than react and create a more peaceful, empowered life. So tune in for this episode. I hope that it's an encouraging, insightful one that will help you clean up your mental mess and embrace more clarity, peace, and emotional resilience in your homeschool and daily life. Let's dive in. All right, so today we're going to be talking about emotions. And very simply, emotions are energy in motion. So it makes it easy to remember that, right? Emotions, energy in motion. And I think it's important to see our emotions this way, because oftentimes we can put so much angst and stress and worry into our feelings that we make them so much bigger, and they make them so much harder to deal with, rather than saying, okay, this is just energy. This is flowing through me. This is in motion. I say they're energy in motion because our feelings, our emotions propel what we do. They drive our actions. And if you, oh, let me read this quote to you. I thought that was really good. It says, "Whatever comes, we let it be as it is. When we do this, we come to see in this moment or the next, our emotions always moving." And if you have teenage girls, you know that their emotions are always moving from one minute to the very next, could be a completely opposite spectrum emotion, right? The word emotion has its roots in the Latin movere or emovere, meaning to move through and to move out. Our emotions move in us, through us, in between us. And when we allow them to move freely, they change, perhaps scarcely, perhaps gradually, but inevitably. This is grief's most piercing message. There is no way around, there's only through. So I love that understanding kind of the Latin roots for the word emotion. It means to move through and move out. Isn't that amazing? And we're going to talk about this in more detail about how important it is that we allow our emotions, that we allow them to move through us instead of resisting them and trying to solve them, trying to deal with them in ways that perhaps aren't the most healthy. And I love it. There's no way around it. This is grief's message. We have to go through these hard emotions sometimes rather than just trying to come up with these, like I said, these coping mechanisms that don't actually help. All right. So on our first week, we talked about this creation cycle, this model that we use in my life coaching program. And basically, just to recap, it's that our thoughts create our feelings, make us have certain emotions. Then based on these emotions, we will act or not act in a certain way. And then that will give us the results that we're seeing in our life. So in the first call, I talked about if your thought is, I'm disorganized, I'm a hot mess, my house is so overwhelming, right? That can create feelings of anxiety, that can make you feel shamed, that can make you feel hopeless. And then based on those feelings, our actions would be, we might procrastinate. we might never do the project. Why even bother? Because it's all going to get disorganized anyway. I never follow through with anything. So I'm going to go do X, Y, Z. And because we're not taking action, our result is things stay more of a mess. Things get, like I said, with clutter, it attracts more clutter, and then it becomes more and more overwhelming. And we're getting the exact result that we don't actually want. And that the way that we change that is by changing our thoughts. And it's also by allowing ourselves to feel and deal with our feelings. So we're going to talk about this part of the creation cycle mostly today. But just wanted to review it because it's that energy and motion, our feelings that drive our actions, that make us do the things that we do. Our emotions are based on the thoughts that we're thinking, but sometimes it can be hard to even know what we're thinking about a situation. We just know that we are having a really strong feeling. So I wanted to touch base on feelings today and how we can work through our emotions. So basically, we can either be in emotional childhood or emotional adulthood. If you've ever watched a toddler have a temper tantrum, you know what I'm talking about, right? Their emotions are lots of energy in motion and they're taking over, right? So emotional childhood. So if we're living in emotional childhood, it means we're depending on the external. So we need things outside of us to be a certain way in order for us to feel good, in order for us to feel calm, in order for us to feel in control. And when one of these external things goes awry, it creates all sorts of emotions and distress within us. Whereas an emotional adult, they can control their own feelings. I can feel however I want. I've realized I have the power to determine how I'm feeling about something. So I don't need someone else to act in a certain way. I don't need these circumstances to go completely perfectly for me to be able to maintain the emotions that I want to have. An emotional adult realizes, like the second one here, they're responsible for their own feelings. My feelings are not determined. Let's just be honest, sometimes they still are, but most of the time, they're not determined by what other people do or say, what my circumstances are. So if someone cuts me off in traffic, I know I'm responsible for how I feel and how I respond. Whereas if we're an emotional childhood, we get stuck in the blame and shame because if my feelings are dependent on everything around me and I don't feel good, it must be somebody else's fault. Or it must be some circumstances' fault. I would feel better if they did what I told them to do. Or I would feel better if my house wasn't such a mess. Or I would feel better if we had enough money for me to fix the blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're blaming other people. Okay, if they hadn't said such and such to me, then I wouldn't have feel so upset right now. Okay, again, what they said might be wrong. It most likely will upset you, but I realize that I am the one in control of my feelings. I can control how I respond to what's going on externally. The other thing we do in emotional childhood is we can either blame other people for how we're feeling or we blame ourselves for how we're feeling. That's shame, that there's something wrong with me to feel this way. When we get stuck in blame and shame, it doesn't feel good. And we're going to talk more about this and break this one apart because this is a really big, important thing. But that can keep us trapped in these negative emotional cycles of blaming other people, shaming ourselves. It doesn't feel good when we are blaming someone else, when we feel resentment, when we feel anger towards them. It doesn't feel good when we're shaming ourselves and beating ourselves up for something. And so that creates even more negative emotions, more negative feelings, and create a downward spiral. Emotional child reacts. So someone cuts me off in traffic, I yell and scream. The credit card bill got delayed in the mail and I just got fined. I'm going to kick and scream and be really angry, right? It doesn't mean in emotional adulthood that we don't have those feelings, okay? So I can still feel very angry when someone cuts me off in traffic. I can still feel really frustrated that I just got charged a fee and either I'm going to have to pay it or I'm going to have to sit on the phone forever and contact the credit card company. But an emotional adult doesn't have to respond. They don't have that like knee-jerk automatic reaction. They have the maturity to go, I'm really angry right now. I really want to scream at this person who cut me off in traffic and yell and say some very not nice things. But even though I'm having this feeling, I'm going to choose to respond by playing some really loud music, by having my kids tell me a joke, by focusing on something else. Even though I'm really frustrated that this payment got late, I can choose. Again, it's this word choose here, because we can choose how we feel. I can choose to respond by going, oh, yep, I'm going to have to pay this fee. I'm going to have to figure this out, but it's going to be okay. It always works out. Or I'm going to have to sit on the phone and talk to these people. I'm an adult. This is part of being adult, is dealing with these problems as they come up. So I'm going to choose to focus on working through it. So a reaction is something we don't choose. It's just automatic, right? We do it without thinking. We've talked about that, how the thoughts and the habits that we have just become on autopilot. That's a reaction. That's an emotional child. An emotional adult can recognize the situation, recognize their feelings for what it is, and then choose how they want to respond. Sometimes, do I want to choose to respond by having an adult temper tantrum? Yes. I might go in my room and scream in my pillow, okay? But I'm choosing it. I'm not just doing it as a knee-jerk reaction. I'm angry because my kids left their shoes on the floor. I yell and scream at them, okay? That's a reaction. An emotional adult is, I'm really frustrated that their shoes are still out here, but I'm going to choose to respond with humor and make up a joke about the shoes that can't ever stay where they're supposed to stay or something. I can choose how I'm feeling and I can choose how I'm going to respond. An emotional child, because they don't want to deal with these feelings, okay, they come up with coping mechanisms to have to deal with these emotions in ways that oftentimes we just do it. Like I said, most of the stuff's autopilot. And I'll go into these three B's, but they're bottles, broods, and buffers. So we're going to talk about those kind of habits in a moment. An emotional adult has learned how to process their feelings and emotions in a healthy way in order to move forward. And we're going to talk about that in today's class as well. So I just wanted to give you this overview here so you can see the difference. And it helps me at times when I feel these really strong feelings to go, I'm not going to have a temper tantrum. I'm going to choose how I want to respond. I can choose to respond differently. So the question is, who is responsible for your emotions? Okay, like I said, blaming is one tendency we tend to have. And that's where I'm feeling this way because of my circumstances, because I don't have XYZ, or I'm having to deal with this stressful situation. My past, I used to blame my past for my emotions all the time. Okay, I feel this way because my mom did blah, 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 or this happened to me when I was a kid. Blame your spouse. I feel this way because they're acting. Or your kids, right? Again, if they did everything I said, I like would never have any negative emotions. I would just be so happy all the time. And it's all their fault that I'm yelling at them. Another thing that we could do is we turn it inward. So who's responsible for your emotions? We are responsible for creating them, like I said, but we blame ourselves if we have emotions that we don't want to have. There's something wrong with me. I shouldn't feel this way. I should be over this by now. This isn't a big deal. Why are you so upset? We talk such negative, horrible things to ourselves, things we would never say to our children or our loved ones, but we feel perfectly fine saying them to ourselves rather than going, of course he would feel this way. It makes complete sense that you would feel angry because that person cut you off in traffic. It's only natural that you would be frustrated that you got fined that fee from the credit card when you mailed the payment on time. That's so frustrating. Understanding this for myself has been so helpful for me to be able to handle my kids' emotions. And like I said, I have four teenage daughters. Okay. So there's lots of emotions on a regular basis. And so I can have space for their wild negative emotions. I don't have to jump in and try to fix it. I can say, oh, well, of course you're angry that your friend said such and such. That makes complete sense that you would feel that way. And I can just hold space for them and I can hear them. And that was something I did not I was not able to do before I did this work for myself. Before, I'd be like, oh, come on, you're making such a big deal out of it. They probably really didn't mean that. Why are you being so dramatic? I couldn't hold space for my kids to have negative emotions because I couldn't hold space for my own. So doing this work, a huge benefit for you, but it also benefits the people in your life and allows you to have empathy and compassion and be able to relate to them and hold space for their feelings as well. Brené Brown writes, we cannot selectively numb emotions. When we numb the painful emotions, we also numb the positive ones. And for years, I buffered. Years. Okay. I didn't want to deal with the emotions that I was having. And so I buffered. And what happened was I numbed out the painful emotions, but I was also numbing out the positive ones. And I honestly felt like I was just numb all the time. I didn't feel bad, but I didn't really feel good either. I didn't feel joy. And some of these positive emotions that we're going to be talking about, I didn't necessarily feel some of the negative emotions, sadness, anger, pain. I didn't really feel anything. Okay. And what happens is we can lull ourselves to sleep by buffering. We don't even realize what we're doing. And this isn't the life that God has for us. And this isn't being fully alive and present for the amazing, beautiful life that we have. So basically what buffering is, I have these negative feelings. They don't feel good. So remember, our brains are wired so that it likes comfort. It likes pleasure. It likes to keep us safe. It wants to do what's easy. We have to train our brain and use our will to do hard things. If we're feeling negative emotions, okay, our brain doesn't like that. We want to go back to being calm here and safe. I can get an instant dopamine hit. Dopamine's like the happy chemical in our brain, by buffering, by doing something that's going to make me feel instantly good. It might make me feel not so great later on. If I'm feeling very upset because I just yelled at my kids and I'm blaming myself and I'm such a horrible parent and I go eat that piece of pizza, I might feel good for a couple minutes, right? Like instantly it's like this wave of relief almost. But ultimately I'm not going to feel good. I'm going to feel bloated and I can't really eat carbs anymore, make me sick. And that's not going to make me want to go work out tomorrow. And so then I'm not working out and I ate that. So I might as well eat whatever I want tomorrow. And so it can create this whole negative cycle that's going to take us down a road that we don't want to. And in our culture, it's so easy to numb our painful feelings. So easy. We can pick up our phone and I could go on social media and get that instant dopamine hit within 30 seconds. Okay. I don't have to put in a lot of effort to get it. So it can come, there's lots of ways we can buffer. For some people, it's shopping. It could be overworking. It could be overeating. It could be on social media. It could be busyness, alcohol. Some people buffer actually with cleaning and doing like over-exercising. It could be good things, but we make them not good when we're using them to not deal with our actual feelings and emotions, and we're not present for the life that we're living. I sell homeschool curriculum, and February and March are the time of year we get the most questions about people wanting to decide what they're going to do next year. And I used to do this all the time. In February and March, I would spend hours researching, obviously before I wrote my own curriculum, researching what to do with my kids for the next school year, of course, because February and March is when homeschooling gets really hard and difficult. And I didn't want to have to deal with the negative feelings. I didn't want to have to deal with my kids complaining. I didn't want to have to deal with all the fears and doubts I was having within myself. So I would just buffer by sitting on the computer for hours thinking about next year, because next year is safe and next year's fun. And next year's, there's no painful emotions attached to that yet. So it's way more fun to think about next year than deal with the actual reality of what's happening in my life right now. So is research a bad thing? No, but it can be if you're using it to take you away from what's happening in your actual life right now. Watching Netflix, if you come in your house and you're overwhelmed and things are a mess, is your natural tendency just to go, oh, I can't even deal with this, and go do something else that's going to make you feel good in the moment? Oh, you don't need to write this in the chat, but I want you to think through, what is your go-to buffer? For years, for me, it was overeating. There's been lots of times where it's been social media, shopping, online shopping. Those are pretty much my three buffers of choice. if you will. And I've definitely been still working through, but I've made a lot of progress in dealing with those, because again, the first step is just to be aware. So I ask you, what is your natural tendency? What do you naturally go to feel better quickly when you don't want to deal with your negative emotions? And what would your life be like without this? So if yours is busyness, you don't want to deal with your negative feelings, what would your life be like if you weren't involved in all that stuff, in doing all that, those activities? What would your life be like if you weren't overeating? What would your life be like if you weren't overspending?
Today's episode is brought to you by A Gentle Feast. A Gentle Feast offers a complete living books curriculum, an award-winning early reading program, and more tools to equip you to apply Charlotte Mason's timeless philosophy into your modern homeschool. Go to agentlefeast.com to check it out. Smooth and easy days are closer than you think.
So those habits, like I said, we often don't notice that we're having them. They're on autopilot. But it's important to think through, A, be aware of them. And then B, we don't want to keep doing them. We don't want to beat ourselves up or blame ourselves for doing it. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I ate that third slice of pizza. Why did I do that? Why do I always overeat? Why do I never follow through with my diet? That's not going to help you feel any better. So we're not going down that road. Again, that's the brooding part here, okay? But we do want to be aware. Why am I eating the third slice of pizza right now? Oh, it's because that mom said something really mean to me today at co-op. And I don't feel good right now, but eating this pizza feels good. Once I could see what I was actually doing, that was a light bulb moment for me. So we just want to be aware. Hold on, let me jump in here. I saw someone. Yeah, that's really cool, actually, that you're able to see. Test people to take. Yeah, it's really cool to see God's work for sure. And that's the beautiful thing about this, right? Is that God makes it possible for us to renew our minds. He makes it possible for us to change, to break free from some of these chains, which really what they are, the bottling, the brooding, the buffering, they're chains. When we actually can deal with our feelings, there's so much freedom on the other side of that. So what is your predominant emotional state? Like I said, mine was overwhelmed. How you doing? I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired. It could be worry. It could be, most of the time I feel pretty good. That's awesome. Just, I want you to think through what is like your natural tendency. We all have some emotion that we just naturally go to. Some people just anger. Like my natural emotion is just anger. I have to train myself to think in a different way, to not respond that way. Now we're going to talk about how do we process these emotions in a healthy way. We don't want to buffer. We want to be able to work through them. So how do we do that? First of all, we have to have realistic expectations. Life is not 50-50. We were not made to feel sunshine, rainbows, unicorns all the time, right? This human experience has a vast range of human emotions, right? Even Jesus got angry at the money changers. Even Jesus wept, right? We have hard emotions because life is hard. And so we have to have realistic expectations. I used to think that I was supposed to feel happy all the time. And if I didn't feel happy and content and wonderful all the time, that there was something wrong with me. What do you think that thought, there's something wrong with me? What kind of feelings do you think that made me feel? It didn't make me feel so good. Made me feel sad. Made me feel a lot of shame. Oh, if I have those feelings, what kind of actions do I take? Do I take actions that are the most loving, kind towards myself? No, absolutely not. What's the result? I feel worse. And then I wonder, what's wrong with me? Again, it's that cycle, okay? So we want to have realistic expectations, like I was saying. Instead of saying, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. No, of course I should feel that way. Of course I should feel frustrated that XYZ happened. I can choose how I'm going to respond, but that emotion, of course I would feel that way, right? So we need to have realistic expectations and realize the vast human experience that we get to have. And then we need to ride the wave. So emotion is energy in motion, and it comes in waves. Just there's sound waves and light waves, energy, right? Comes in waves. So does emotions. And when I've realized that, I didn't have to fear my feelings. because I would start to feel like the wave coming towards me and I'd panic. Go, oh my goodness, I can't feel this way. Oh my goodness, I don't want to feel icky. I don't want to feel like upset about what they said. And I don't want to feel worry about what is going to happen next. And so I don't want to have to deal with this feeling. And then I go, brood buffer, instead of just going, this is the feeling. It's not going to last forever. The more I fight it, the more what we resist persists. The more I fight it, the more strong this feeling is going to be. I need to just feel it. And once I gave myself permission to feel it, it really is like a wave. It'll come, it'll get really strong at the peak, and then it'll go if we just allow ourselves to feel it and not panic and try to do all these other things to solve it. You know that we're going on a bear hunt song? We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. I'm not scared, are you? And then it's, oh no, a swamp. And then it's, I can't go, oh, we can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh no, we've got to go through it. Same way with our feelings, right? We can't go over them. We can't go under them. We try really hard. The only way is through it. Like that quote that I read you at the beginning. We need to work through it. That's where that actual Latin word for emotions comes from. Working our way, moving through it. So here, everyone, this is so important. Whatever you're doing, stop right now and listen to this very important thing. Your emotions are not a problem to be fixed. They are loving messengers. Like I said, this was huge for me because I really felt negative emotions were a problem and I needed to fix them. And I need to figure out why I'm having this feeling and what I need to do to change it. And I need to get rid of it. And I need to fix it right now because I'm not supposed to feel this way. That doesn't make anyone feel good, does it? No, that just creates more anxiety, more worry, more panic, more fear. Instead of going, this is a human emotion that I'm having. What's the message in this emotion? Our emotions tell us a whole lot about what we're thinking, about what we're experiencing in our lives. If we're willing to sit and actually feel them and listen to them, there's always a loving message in our feelings. But when we try to jump and bottle it and buffer it and et cetera, we don't actually feel it. We don't get to have the message of it. They are a beautiful human part, a part of being a human that can teach us so much. And so I've learned to say, what message is this emotion feeling? First, we have to be able to identify the emotion. And then we can ask the question, what message is this emotion bringing to me right now? What do I need to learn and experience here? Rather than trying to get rid of it. The first part of that is accepting the emotion. Again, instead of resisting it, instead of trying to get rid of it. And one of the things I say to myself is, even though I feel whatever it is I'm feeling, I completely accept myself. I know that I'm safe and deeply loved by God. What happens when we're panicked and we don't want to deal with this? And this is really scary. And I don't know if this wave is going to take me under, if I actually allow myself to feel this really scary feelings right now. And so I'm panicking. We stop breathing, right? But when I say, I'm completely safe in this moment, I can handle this feeling. God is with me. I'm completely loved by him. This feeling I'm having right now is never going to change that. I can accept it. I can accept myself in it. And the wave goes, and it doesn't take me under. So we learn first to accept our feelings. Like I was saying, say to yourself, of course you would feel frustrated that your kid left the Legos on the floor, that you just stepped on. Those little buggers really hurt when they go on your feet. Of course you feel frustrated. Just give yourself acceptance. We want to feel seen and heard in our feelings, just like the people in our lives do. And it's really important also to identify what emotion you're actually having. I've grown a lot in this area, but there were years where I couldn't actually tell you what I was feeling. That's another clue that you've probably been spending too long numbing your feelings. I couldn't tell you, am I feeling upset? Am I feeling scared? Am I feeling worry? Am I feeling disappointment? Am I feeling frustration? There's all these adjectives for our feelings, right? I just feel that, like the mem emoji. I'm like, I was just the mem emoji for years. I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm like, I don't feel good, but I don't know why. I don't know what this emotion is. And so part of the growing process is learning to identify what those emotions are. When I launched this course that I did at the beginning of the year called Propel, like several weeks leading up to the course, I would wake up every morning and I was so teary. Not like a depressed teary, not like a I'm really sad teary. I would just wake up, and when I was journaling and doing my devotions in the morning, I would just find myself like just getting sad and having some tears. And I'm like, okay. And again, I didn't resist it. I didn't blame myself. Like, why are you crying, Julie? There's nothing to cry about in your life. I got curious and accepted the feelings and go, huh, this is interesting. I wonder why I'm feeling teary right now. And it took me a couple of days to realize that oftentimes fear presents itself the same as sadness. And I tried to find the quote and I couldn't, but in the book Grief Observed, C.S. Lewis says the same thing. He talks about the close relationship between fear and sadness. And so I was afraid about doing that course. I was afraid what people would say. I was afraid if I was going to be able to do it or not. And that fear was coming out of me as being teary, as being a little sad. So it wasn't a panic fear, because I could recognize that, but it was just like, these tears would just come out. And I'm like, where are these tears coming from? So sometimes it's actually, we have to sit still long enough and not try to numb what we're experiencing to even understand what the feeling is, because we've learned, oh, this feeling comes only out this way and it only feels this way. So we have to learn to sit with some things long enough. And then our feelings are energy in motion. So oftentimes we need to do things that get ourselves back into our bodies, because what happens is when we're feeling a really strong feeling, we tend to overthink. Why am I feeling this way? Why shouldn't I feel this way? I wonder if this feeling's coming out because of X, Y, Z, and what should I do now? And blah, 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 blah. We could just get trapped in our own heads, right? And we're overthinking things. And so we need to do things that gets the feelings, gets the thoughts out of our heads and gets us back into our body where we can actually feel the feelings. So that could be walking, exercise, stretching, taking a bath. Things are going to make you move, get that energy going and help you think. I like to sit on my swing when I'm having really hard feelings. My family has gone through some really hard things in the past 2 weeks, and I've had a lot of grief. And before, I would have bottled it up and said, you shouldn't feel that way. Hey, blah, blah, blah. At least bottle it up. Or I would buffer with, like I said, overeating or shopping, or my go-tos, going on social media, just checking out, numbing myself out. I would buffer for sure. I would brood and just overthink it, beat myself up. Why do you feel this way? Blaming other people, blaming myself. And I've learned through these tools how to process emotions in a healthy way. Doesn't mean I wasn't tempted. Let me tell you, I did buy an outfit the other day and I did go buy some chips and salsa and bring them home and eat them this week too. So it's been a lot, but I know that I'm doing it. Awareness is the first step. But then I go, okay, Julie, this is buying that outfit or eating this whole entire bag of Tostitos is not going to make you feel better. You need to allow yourself time to grieve. And I just go sit on my swing and I rock back and forth. And I just let the tears come and I let the sadness come and I let the feelings come. But there's something about the rocking on my, I think that's why in the olden days, everybody had rocking chairs on the porch. It was just a way to feel and deal with your feelings in a way that was healthy. But sitting on that swing and just allowing the tears to come. I cried well over an hour the other day. And I let myself have the time. There was lots of things I could be doing. I'm going to convention tomorrow. Lots of more things I could be doing than just sitting and crying. But I allowed myself that time to grieve because I knew I needed to feel it. I knew I needed to let the wave come. It wasn't going to overtake me. And I didn't want to stay there, right? Because that's brooding, right? I just needed to feel it and accept it. And go, it's okay. Of course you're going to grieve now. What happened is really sad. It's okay to grieve. It's part of being a human. And just accept myself and allow myself to feel those feelings. You're about to start a new project or a new adventure, and you need courage. But we can create courage. So like I was saying, I was afraid to try something new. Once I could identify that it was actually fear and it wasn't like sadness, which is what I thought it was at first, I could work on purposely creating courage. And that's by the thoughts that we think, reminding myself, oh, you've done XYZ before and you were able to do it and you had success in all these areas, and just write out things that made me feel more courage. Excitement is another emotion that we can generate. It's very interesting. They have found that excitement and fear often have the same responses physiologically in our bodies. So what they've done is trained athletes to, instead of being like, oh, I'm so afraid to be in this Olympic swimming race, what if I don't win? And what if something happens during the race? And they get all this fear. Instead, use it to teach them excitement. So when you think about it, when you're excited, you get like butterflies in your stomach and your hands start sweating and your pulse quickens. What's the same thing that happens when you're afraid, right? So your body doesn't know the difference between excitement and fear. So you can tell, I'm so excited. This is so amazing. And I've done that too, in terms of when I'm fearing something, to go, I'm so excited. I get to do, this is so exciting to try something new. So exciting to get to talk to these people. And my body doesn't know the difference between those physical responses. And then I actually feel excited and less afraid. So it's pretty cool. Fun is a great emotion to feel, right? Grateful. And we do this by being grateful. So just like when we feel overwhelmed, and the more we tell ourselves that we're overwhelmed, the more evidence we find in our lives for all the things to be overwhelmed about, which then makes us feel more overwhelmed. We can do the same thing with gratitude. The more things that we find that are good, the more things you find to be grateful for. That's why we celebrate every week on this call, because the more that you are grateful, then the more things you find to feel grateful for, which then allows you to feel more grateful. So you're creating the emotions that you want to have and being intentional. So instead of reacting, again, like the emotional child, we want to be the emotional adult. We want to respond. We want to choose what we're feeling here. Confidence goes along great with courage, motivated. Okay. Do I feel motivated to go wake up at 5:45 to go to the gym? No. Okay. But I can create the emotion of motivation by what I'm thinking and what I'm telling myself. I'm so excited I get to go to the gym. I'm so excited for be able to fit into this outfit. I'm so excited to have this healthy, strong body for my grandkids. That makes me motivated, giving myself those reasons. And then this is one of my favorite empowering emotions, is awe and wonder. And this has come from homeschooling my kids, especially with the Charlotte Mason philosophy. It's just, wow, look at that bird. Or I've pulled over off the side of the road so we could look at some animal or some tree or plant or something. Because now I just find more things to be awed about. Again, whatever emotion it is that you want to create, the more you intentionally find things that make you feel that emotion, the more in your life you'll start to feel it. Now, like I said, I pull off the side of the road. I'm just in awe and wonder of so much goodness and so much beauty that there is in this world, that every day I'm amazed. Every day. This is really important. It is hard work. It is much harder to clean out your mental mess and deal with your emotions, especially if you have gotten into those habits that I was talking about. It's much harder to work through that than it is to clean out your garage. But amazing results in health are on the other side of that. So it's worth the work. It's worth A, noticing what you're doing, and then allowing yourself to deal with your emotions in a healthy way. And like I said, the more that you learn to do this for yourself, the easier it is to allow space to do it for other people as well.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Let's wrap up with some key takeaways. First of all, emotions are energy and motion. Understanding that emotions are meant to move through us rather than be suppressed or feared. The creation cycle. Our thoughts shape our feelings, which then drive our actions, which will determine our results. We need to learn and be aware of how we're buffering or numbering our emotions, and then learn what to do instead. We also talked about the difference between emotional childhood versus adulthood. Learning to take responsibility for your emotions rather than blaming circumstances or other people will help you move forward. And then we also talked about some practical steps to process emotions, strategies like how to identify your feelings, how to allow them to move through you, and how to choose empowering emotions that align with the life that you want to create. Remember, you are in control of your emotions. They are not here to hurt us, but they are helpful messengers that can lead and guide us. I hope today's episode was helpful. Thanks for listening. Ross here. I just wanted to say thank you for listening to today's episode. If you like this show, it would mean the world to me if you would leave a positive review in iTunes. This really does help people learn about the podcast. And each month, I will pick a winner to receive a free gift. Don't forget to check out all the free resources we created for you at thefeastlife.me. Thank you.